to a level that almost made it usable in atomic weapons. BBC News.
It's 12:06 on this Veterans Day. Carolyn Crane bringing you a very special public planet today. Since it is a school holiday, we are glad to have representatives of the Adventure Risk Challenge program from the Truckee Tahoe Unified School District in the studio with us, with their coordinator, Katie Faces. We'll be talking about the Adventure Risk Challenge program, how it made the difference in these students' lives, how it makes a difference in the world. We begin an exciting hour of Public Planet talking about a program called the Adventure Risk Challenge. Let me introduce who I have in the studio. First of all, the director and creator of Adventure Risk Challenge, Katie Faces. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you for having us.
And then next we have Carlos, one of the participants. Welcome, Carlos.
Well, thanks.
And not on the mic right now, but joining us in a little while is Angie. We'll welcome her. Well, go ahead and say hi, Angie.
Hi.
And Aldo. Welcome, Aldo.
Thanks.
And Heriberto. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. It's a pleasure to have you all with us today. And let's start with Katie to tell us about, in a nutshell, what is the Adventure Risk Challenge program that you created and piloted last summer?
Great. Well, what we did, I worked under a nonprofit Teachers Association for Outdoor and Adventure Education, is we created a program, a six-week summer program for second language learners, ELD, ELL learners, in the Tahoe Truckee District, and opened it up to all of the kids in ninth grade and offered this incredible program where the kids would leave home for 6 weeks and come live with me. We lived out at Sage Hen Research Facility, which is just north of Truckee, and live together, speak English the whole summer, and have many adventures and challenges, and study. We had English class, and we had grammar class, and we had writing class, and we had environmental studies class, and we had many adventures. We went sea kayaking, and we rock climbed, and we tied the curriculum together so that the kids were reading and writing and learning and discussing about the adventures that they participated in. So it was a really exciting program.
How did you come to create two so different things in one program, the academic push, the grammar, that scholarship, together with, and I've seen pictures of the rock climbing, and you listening out there, this is like serious, real deal rock climbing that this group did. It's two kind of extreme things in one hybrid program. What made you do that?
Well, my background, I worked for Outward Bound Schools for over 10 years, and I believe in the power of Adventure Ed, and I believe in what it brings out of kids. And I also got my master's in education and have become a classroom teacher as well. And what I see the best linkage between outdoor education and academics really is in writing and expressing yourself and communicating. And so the match with working with an English language learner population is really fantastic, because what we did is we went out and had experiences and pushed ourselves and met challenges, and then we came back and we talked about it in English and we wrote about them and we discussed them and we shared them with other people. So I think it's that whole person learning that really makes a difference in the academic learning.
One more question and then we'll take it around to the students. And we're speaking with Katie Faces, creator of the Adventure Risk Challenge program that piloted last summer in the Truckee Tahoe Unified School District. What made you choose this school district for this program? What need did you see needed to be addressed?
Well, the Tahoe Truckee Unified School District is a fantastic school district, and they're working really hard to serve all of their students, but the toughest population really is the English language learner population, because it's growing and growing. And offering supplemental enhancement programs is something that the district needs some help with. And so what we looked at was, what is the need in this community? And the need really is for the kids that that you're going to talk to today that are level 4 or 5, that are, you know, ready to integrate into mainstream classes or have already integrated but want want some enhancement opportunities, want to work on their skills so that they're better set up to pass the high school exit exam and better set up to graduate from high school and go on to higher education or whatever their dreams are. And so we did a lot of talking this summer about what students' goals were and what their dreams were and how to meet those goals.
In a little while, we'll be opening the phone lines, and you can join us in this Talk About Adventure Risk Challenge. So if you, I know many of you look forward to that on Public Planet, and we will get around to that. I'd like to start by talking with the students, talking with Aldo here. And tell me, what was it like, Aldo, to leave home for 6 weeks?
At the beginning, it was kind of fun because, like, you were going somewhere new. You didn't know what to expect. But, like, later when you got into the program, like, once you had something and it was gone, you really missed it for, like, a lot.
Can you give an example of something you missed a lot?
Like, I missed how every morning I would wake up and my mom would come in and she'd tickle my feet and I'd wake up. And when we'd sleep in the tents, I didn't feel my mom's hands tickling my feet or waking me up, so.
When you got back again, what was anything different in the way you related to your family?
Yeah, I looked at them in a different point of view. Like, I love them more than I did when, like, before I left. Now I appreciate them. Like, if I fight with me and my little brother, then I know that nothing will change because I'll always love him.
And I'm wondering if we could go to a poem or a piece of writing that one of you did that maybe touched upon this issue. If we could find one of those, I think it would be a good time to read it. Should we go to a little bit of music while we find it?
Sure.
Okay.
Do you want a poem or a long?
Back with the Adventure Risk Challenge Kids on KVMR FM Nevada City, and Angie has stepped to the mic to share with us a poem that she wrote last summer during the Adventure Risk Challenge program.
Okay. My rocky spirit. I'm like a switchback. I never stop. I secede to the top. At home, I am a rock that gets thrust aside, that is forlorn by myself, who just wants to cry. One who helps a lot and keeps continuing on, no matter what. I am a trail, useful to all, eager to guide you anywhere. Endless because I never stop. I'll take you to the spot, a zigzag that connects you to soft earth and granite rock. I am Dick's Pass, providing you with adventures like going on a fast roller coaster. Your stomach heaving up and down, sledding on snow while jumping over rocks and falling down. At home, I am that rock that gets thrust aside, who is forlorn in the inside, that all I want is to cry. But now I'm loved by many, except those many aren't just any. They are my friends to the end.
Did you, I'm going to bring the other mics up here to the other folks in the studio. Let's talk about that a little bit. There's so much to talk about in a six-week program where you guys did so much, but what about that friends to the end? What has changed in your lives about the bonds you made with each other, the nine students who participated? And let's hear from Carlos.
Well, what Angie said is, like, we've been together for 6 weeks, and, like, we treated each other like family. We were like brothers. We got in fights. We cried together. And I don't know, like, I guess we were a family, and from those 6 weeks, like, the first day I went to the camp, I didn't know no one except for Aldo, Angie, and Carolina. And the other people I didn't know, so I was kind of shy around them. But then I got used to them and started talking to them, and we just became friends.
And Heriberto, what about you? How did you feel about the other eight people in your group at the end of the 6 weeks?
Well, I know Gabby, Paco, and Christina, and Juan, because they go to the high school where I go. And so I knew them, and I talked only to them. And for the Truckee kids, I didn't know them, so I didn't talk to them. But when I got used to them, like, know them, like, I start talking to them and having fun with them.
Was it hard? Let's stay with you for a minute, Alberto. Was it hard to just speak English when you got there?
Yeah, it was really hard because I was only, like, 2 years or 3 years in here in the United States. And it's hard for me to speak in English because most of my life I lived in Mexico. And that's it.
Angie, was it hard for you to go to a situation where you were not speaking Spanish?
It wasn't that hard because at home I speak Spanish and English.
So it was easier for you. And Carlos, what about you?
No, it wasn't really that hard because I like normally talked English, but around my parents I talked Spanish to them.
Let's talk a little bit about what was the hardest thing for you of the whole 6 weeks when you consider the rock climbing, the ropes course, the sea kayaking, the grammar blast, the environmental science, the writing, the talking to kids from a different high school. I want to just say real quickly to the listeners, there were 4 kids from the Truckee High School and 5 kids from the Tahoe High School who did not know each other. So they were coming together for this 6 weeks. And it's probably good they were virtually split down the middle. And so so that was another thing. So was that the hardest, or was it the academics, or was it being away from your parents, or was it not speaking English? Let's go around this way. So we'll start with Aldo, who's back at the mic.
The hardest thing for me was like leaving behind my parents, because like I figured the only time that I was going to leave them is when I moved out or went to college, and I didn't think this time would come. But like at the same time, I was getting ready for like later on in life, I'd be ready to like leave them behind but always love them.
Carlos?
I have to say it was the ropes course, but leaving my parents behind was too. But the ropes course was kind of hard because I was afraid of heights and I didn't know what to expect out of it.
Angie? Go ahead, Angie. What was the hardest thing?
Oh, yeah. The hardest thing was for me, like, leaving my parents and all my friends, because especially my mom, because my mom's always there for me. And, like, even though I had Carolina by my side, like, it was just hard for me.
And Carolina's another student from Truckee who was there at Adventure Risk Challenge with them, but couldn't be with us today because she's beginning her own exciting adventure trip today, a different adventure. Heriberto, what was the hardest thing?
The hardest thing I was leaving my mom and my dad because they were having like a new baby sister for me. And the ropes course because I was afraid of heights. And, like, I never done anything like that, and it was pretty fun. Everything, it was cool, it was high.
I think that I would be very afraid to do some of the things on a ropes course, personally, so I can really empathize with you. We're here on Public Planet today. It's 12:22, and we're joined by Katie Faces, the creator of the American Risk Adventure Risk Challenge program in the Tahoe Truckee School District that piloted last summer with 9 students. And this is an intensive 6-week English-only program for English learners, high school students, 9th graders, in which they go into an immersion program of wilderness experience and academics for 6 weeks. And 4 of the 9 students are with us today. My name is Carolyn Crane, and I want to tell you tune in for the news tonight. And halfway through the news tonight, Utah Phillips and poet John Irving talk about their roles and their memories as veterans with KVMR's John Fletcher. That will be very special. Be sure to tune in for a special edition of the news tonight in honor of Veterans Day, and very special at 6:30 with Utah, John Irving and John Fletcher. Okay, back to Adventure Risk Challenge. I'd like to ask you if there was any point, you know, when they say you're running and you hit the wall and you just don't think you can go on anymore and you think you just have to quit and stop and you're not going to be able to push through. I'm wondering if there was one moment like that in that 6 weeks where you thought, I can't do it. I can't go any further. I'm not going to keep going. I'm going to quit. Obviously, you didn't. You all made it through. But I'm wondering if you had that moment and what it was like for you. And does anyone want to go first? Go ahead, Carlos.
Well, we have, because like we've gotten into fights, and there were some times that we would like never talk to each other, like just look at each other and turn away. But we like sorted things out. We talked about it, and we just fixed the problem.
What made you make that choice? What made you sort it out and fix the problem?
Well, we had to stay here, like, in the camp for 6 weeks. So we had, like, to stay together, stick together, and work together. So, yeah. Sorry. But we also had a thing called VOMP, and it was voice opinion, I think, or...
Voice own
moccasins
and plan,
and that was that we had like get in a group and talk about what we've done like wrong and what we could fix it, like have our own opinions like to what we said.
So it was a strategy to sort through problems,
yeah.
that Katie taught you. Mm-hmm. And maybe Katie could get back on the mic and explain it a little more in detail. The moccasin thing intrigues me particularly. So doing a little studio shuffle here.
Okay. I'm back. Well, you know, for to have 6 weeks all together as a family and create a new family, there's bound to be controversy and there's bound to be conflicts. And so we did a lot of leadership training, and we can go on to talk about that in a minute, but we also had a conflict resolution technique, and we called it VOMP. And the first thing you do is you voice your opinion and what happened and how you see it from your perspective. And the second thing you do is you own what your part of the controversy is. And the third thing is moccasins, and that's where you think about it would be like to be in someone else's shoes, in the other person's shoes. And when you go through that process, hopefully, and what we saw is that you get to the point where you're ready for P, which is plan. And how are we going to make this work? How are we going to make this? How are we going to resolve this? And how are we going to deal with this problem in the future? And I think almost every student used this model in some way, whether or not it was one-on-one with us as the instructors or as a group. The kids got really good at doing it together as well.
When you got back from Adventure Risk Challenge and you started your year as 10th graders, do you find you use these techniques, like say you're at school and something comes up, do you think back to the summer and VOMP and do things differently or no? Aldo?
No, not really. I just like, if I get too mad, I just let my anger come out. But like at the same time, I'll remember about the VOMP and just go ask the person for forgiveness and just like feel sorry.
Anybody else do they have like think in your day-to-day life things that you learned last summer that affect the way you make decisions today? Ariberto, does that ring a bell with you at all?
No, but like we got in a fight and everything, but we bombed, and afterwards there was like happiness. Everyone would talk to each other again and feel like the family again, be like the family again, and that's all.
Let's talk about the most important thing you learned, if you had to, from all of the different activities. Carlos?
The most thing, like, that I've learned was not to be scared, like, in anything. And, yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
That's a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
I once heard that that fear is excitement without the oxygen. I like that. I use that sometimes when I'm afraid. I just remember to breathe, and then it's like, oh, this could be a really exciting moment if I looked at it differently. What about you, Heriberto? What's the most important thing you learned?
I was afraid of heights and getting to the water because I didn't know how to swim. I knew how to swim a little bit, but afterwards we went to like lakes. Like Katie told me to go in the water so I wouldn't be scared anymore. And I got in, and there was this time that I jumped from a rock that everybody was jumping. So it was pretty neat because I wasn't afraid anymore. And the heights, I really conquered my fears on rope course and rock climbing because it was cool.
And I just want to tell you that you just said that in really beautiful, articulate English. And it's amazing that you've only spoken English for a few years and you can speak so beautifully. Maybe we can give Angie the mic again and she can tell the most important things she learned. You're listening to KVMR FM, Nevada City. Go ahead, Angie.
The most important thing that I learned is, like, to stay as a group, because even though we all got in fights and, like, didn't get along, sometimes we like, came back as a family.
Okay, so would, if I want to just put it in a little different words to make sure I understand you, are you saying that when you have a disagreement that you learned that it wasn't a final thing, that it would be worked through so it wasn't as scary to you to have a disagreement? That's a really huge thing to learn too. Aldo?
I learned two different things. That Katie and Victor, they seemed two strangers that I didn't want to know, and I didn't want to get to know because I thought people were like different and I didn't want to get to know anybody. But when like I really got to know them, I felt like people are like different. You can't just judge them by the way that you look at them. Like Kitty and Victor were like Victor was a second father to me, and Kitty was like a second mother to me. They're like teaching me new things that I haven't learned here at Truckee or over there in Truckee.
Wow, another really big thing. I was thinking that I would get answers more like about the material you studied, but instead I got answers about life lessons and values that will affect your whole lives forever. So that's pretty amazing stuff. I want to Katie to pick a mic and get on the mic, and I want to talk about the leadership component of Adventure Risk Challenge. And again, while she's setting up here, there is an academic component. It's an English immersion. It's a grammar, writing, reading aloud, environmental studies. There's a wilderness component, sea kayaking, rock climbing, ropes course. There's also a leadership component. And Katie, tell us about that.
Well, in many ways, the leadership component is what tied the whole program together. And maybe the kids here can help me out with this, but we had daily jobs. And can you guys shoot out some of the types of jobs that we had? Anybody remember? Names? Go for it, Carlos.
Okay, we had the top banana, the house mice, the kitchen wallace, the great eye, and the prolific pen.
And what did those jobs do, Carlos?
The top banana was a leader for the day. The house mice, if we were out like hiking and camping out, they had to set up like the tarps and stuff. And then the kitchen wallace, they had to cook like the meals and stuff. The great eye, when we were out camping like and hiking, he had like the responsibility like to take us to the place. He had control of the maps. And the prolific pen, he had a little diary book that we wrote like stuff that we did every day.
Is that where the group person would write the one question and everyone would answer it. Let's talk a little bit about that beautiful special journal I saw floating around earlier.
So what we did was we tried to create some structure and some accountability for all the jobs, because living together as a family, there was no one to cook or clean or set up tents without, you know, we were the whole team. And so the kids rotated through these jobs, and the leader of the day had a lot of different jobs, but one of their jobs was to make sure that everything went smoothly and everything happened. And then there was a prolific pen whose job was to help out other jobs in terms of setting up tents and cooking, but to write in the group journal a summary of the day and come up with a quote of the day and share it with the group and ask everyone in the group a question of the day. And maybe, Carlos, you could share with us a little example.
Would you like a quote or a question?
How about both?
Both? Okay. One quote was, "One must learn by doing the thing, for though you think you know it, you have a no certain until you have. Or until you try, sorry." And that was by Aristotle.
Aristotle?
Yeah, Aristotle. Sorry. And then the question was, what is the best part about being home and a scheduled day? And one of the responses was Angie. She said free time and regular food.
So the kids asked each other different questions each day. And what are some other examples? Do you guys remember some other examples of questions that you asked? Like, you know, some of them that I remember was, what was the biggest challenge of today? Or what do you miss most about home? And what was your favorite lake? So different questions like that. And then we had several different quote books that the students would look through and pick out a quote from another writer or person that really resonated with them.
It's 12:34 here at KVMR FM Nevada City. If you would like to call in and ask a question of these students or this teacher, the numbers are 265-9555 or toll-free 1-800-355-5867. That works throughout northeastern California, and I do believe in Truckee, where I certainly hope people are tuning in at 105.1. So 530-265-9555 or toll-free 1-800-355-5867. I have a question. I have three kids, and I'm pretty busy. And a lot of times people, they say, "I don't know how you do it, Carolyn. I don't know how you manage the logistics of these three kids with everything else." Well, you had nine kids the same age that you lived with for 6 weeks, Katie, taking them on these incredibly complicated adventures, thinking about food, laundry, jobs, equity. How did you do it?
That's a great question. I had great staff. I had the help of Rosie, who's here today, and I had Victor and Sarah, who also worked with me. And we all had a huge commitment to the educational philosophy behind what we were doing, and we worked really hard, and we pretty much worked all day, all the time for the 6 weeks. I had about a day and a half or 2 days off for the whole summer, and I got energy from these students and from what they were learning and from the sparkle in their eyes and from their new discoveries and decisions to overcome a challenge or to try to overcome a challenge. So that's where I got my energy. And the structure of the program really helped me in that there was always a student leader of the day. And so when I needed some help from the students, I would go to that student leader. And these students will probably attest to being a leader was a really hard experience. They had to help get all the students to class on time or get them ready to leave on the backpacking trip or ready in the boats. And so the student leaders really helped me out a lot as well. But also the structure of jobs and really empowering the students to take over and be able to do as much of it as they could by themselves. We worked with a model whereby the final backpacking trip, the nine students did the whole trip on their own. The instructors followed about 20, 15 minutes behind and didn't really help them out at all. And they had to navigate from point A to point B, and they had to set up camp and cook everything on their own. And the instructors were there for safety monitoring, but the students did the whole thing on their own, which is really fantastic.
When you had the leader of the day. Were there ever a time when you students here, and Heriberto, if you want to address this, just grab a mic, where you felt like, I can't be the leader of the day. I don't want to be the leader of the day. I don't want to be in charge of these people. I don't even know half of these people. I don't want to do this. Did you struggle with that leadership role when it was presented to you? Aldo?
Yeah, there's this one time when I felt that every day I would give in too much to the group, and Katie warned me about giving in too much because it was going to get back to me that I was going to like be tired, worn out. And the day finally came, and I didn't think it would. I gave too much, and I told my group. And I, at the same time, I felt bad because I was telling them how I felt, and I thought I was being rude at the same time. I just didn't want to be the leader after that anymore.
But did you still need to be the leader after that?
It was basically the end of the day, so no.
So, like, but did you have to be leader again another day?
Yeah.
And when that time came around, what was that like for you when you had to step back into that role again?
I felt scared and worried that they just might, like, plan something against me and, like, be, let's not do anything that he says just because he's a leader and remember what he said about us. And I just felt worried.
And what happened?
They listened, and I was surprised. I was happy that they did, like, almost everything that I did or said.
Yeah, we had some fantastic leaders in this group, and all the students rose to taking the job really seriously and saying, I need to step up on this day in particular, and I need to make sure that everything goes smoothly. And actually, for their final expedition, we appointed two guardian angels to be the overall leaders looking after the group. And we appointed both Angie and Aldo because they were particularly... They gave a lot of themselves throughout the course to taking care of other students, and I think we really created an ethic of taking care of each other in this group.
Angie, I have a question for you. What do you think are some qualities of an effective leader?
Some qualities, I think, that to keep their team, like, together. Like, the leader should, like, listen to them also, not, like, just tell them what to do. Don't be bossy. Like, get along with them also.
Heriberto, what about you? What do you think it takes to be an effective leader?
I think it takes a lot of courage to be a leader because it's a really hard job to do. It was the hardest of all. And the second one was the map controller, because if you didn't know where to go, you would, like, go this way, go that way, and you might get lost. And what was the question again?
The question is, what was the most important, the hardest thing about being a leader? And I loved your answer, courage, and a good quality of being a leader, actually, an important quality of being a leader was my question. And I notice in both, I'm glad you brought up the map controller. It sounds like in these jobs, there's a lot of pressure. That there's a lot of pressure on you as an individual to be in charge of where the group is going, to be in charge of the group, to be in charge of the meals. You know, these are really adult, things that adults need to do successfully that you were learning how to do a few years before you were officially an adult. It looks like we have a call coming in. Carlos, I'd like you to get a chance at that too. What do you think are the qualities of a successful leader?
Just to stay in touch with your group and, like, fool around with them sometimes, but don't get too carried away. And have fun.
That's an important line to walk, where you want that camaraderie, but you still need to maintain that you are, in fact, the leader.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm glad you brought that up. Let's take this call. Good afternoon. You're live on KVMR with the Adventure Risk Challenge Kids.
Hi. I just have to say hats off to the program, the leaders, and the kids. I mean, it's just awesome hearing about them. And my question is, I think this should be available to all kids. And is there programs out there, for all kids?
I I hung you up because there was awful feedback coming through, and that's a great question. And Katie, let's make sure we save the last few minutes to talk about the future of Adventure Risk Challenge and how it came to be, but let's wait a couple minutes on that. I'd actually think I want to cut back to music for a very quick minute and then have you get out two or three more poems to read to touch on that aspect again. So let's do that. We'll be right back. Okay, we'll start with Aldo. Aldo's going to read briefly to us from one of his essays that he wrote last summer.
All right, it's called A River. I am the sigh of a mother that just gave birth to a baby girl. I'm the soul soother. I make you feel crazy, scared, and happy, like a little boy riding a bicycle. I make your body shiver and your mind tingle. My heart is the icy cold blue spear of a lost puppy. I get sad when you fall into my body. But I'll hold you. A rock in the middle of my path represents obstacles that I have overcome or gone over. You look at me and you forget your home. I look at you and remember mine. We have fears and so do I. I freeze your body and pump your blood. I'll move like a butterfly and bite like a bear. You might think I'm young, but there's a whole lot of bark and bite left in this old dog. Take your time and open my many features. I'll make you forget your memory. I'll make you forget the past and future. I'm here and I never change. Sometimes I feel like a fish in a pond full of killers. No one is by my side, not even my friends. I wish I could return to Mexico, with my family, where I am appreciated and not forgotten. There are only three people who love me more than life itself. My dad, mom, and my aunt, whose name I can't remember. It's been 13 years since I've seen her in Mexico. I was a creek when I flowed in her life. She is a waterfall, taking care of me as if I'm one of her own, spending time and money on me. I miss my lakes, creeks, streams, waterfalls, and ponds. They're the people who set me free. But now, here in the USA, I am a cascade trying to be a waterfall. I'm strong and long and full of life. Soon I will die, but I will live as a memory.
Thank you, Aldo. And that was a poem, not an essay. I was looking at a different part of the paper he was holding up. And we'll go to Heriberto, and then hang on, caller, for a minute. I will get to you after Heriberto reads his piece.
My poem is called
let me do this. Try it again.
My poem is called My Blood, and here it goes. I am the ocean, sometimes calm and sometimes rough. No ocean river can study me. When I'm relaxed, I am shiny and crystalline. From the top, you can see my surface. But if you go deeper, my pressure might kill you. When I'm rough, I have a thunderstorm within me. My reach is powerful. I can go anywhere I want. I am all around the world. I think I'm big, but I'm alone. I am filled with creatures inside. They're my blood. Everything inside me, inside, is my blood. If you're in me, you're part of me. But if you leave, I bleed. Bleeding from every exit. Please return.
Thank you, Alberto. Thanks for waiting, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. Say, this is really a wonderful program.
We only have a couple minutes.
Really fast. Okay. Over 30 years ago, I was hired by a free school in Berkeley to take a group of young people from junior high and high school out for 2 weeks. And it's amazing that we all came back alive. We didn't have nearly the organization that's obviously been gone in with your leaders here, and nor did we seem to have students who were willing to take advantage or sort of to take charge and be leaders for the day and things like that. And I really admire what I can see is the growth of this type of idea. Because what I did was sort of the opposite of sort of the regimented Boy Scout type thing, where the scout leader got everybody up every morning and made them do this and that and the other thing. We just trekked through the backcountry of the McCollumy River, And it sounds like your program combined a nice aspect of academic or regular classroom things, as well as this experience of being in the outdoors and learning from it and beginning to define themselves in terms of what they learned with the group, taking responsibility and noticing what was there.
That was beautifully put. Thank you. We're going to go now to Carlos's poem to make sure we get him in. Okay, Carlos. Or essay. You have essay, right?
No, I have a poem.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me get the right. Okay, try again.
It's going to be a poem.
Okay, there we go.
Okay. I'm Aloha Lake. I'm Aloha Lake, warm and blue, clear in everything I see. I leave dishonorable feelings behind, receive fresh new things in time. With my family, I am happy and wild. Fish make me smile. Waves show my crazy side. They don't let me be lazy. I am Aloha Lake, a beautiful sight. One touched by an angel, shining like we're in heaven. I am Aloha Lake. Fish swimming all around me, delighted feeling like a child. All in a group, just like a family. The rock on the bottom holding me in place, always there for me. The river, constantly traveling by my side, will be with me in time, always there for me. The lodgepole pine, drinking from me whenever she has thirst, always there for me. The water snake, swimming all around my belly, relaxing path, always there for me. The wind, forever blowing, creating breeze, sharing air with others, always there for me. The ocean, waiting for me and caring for me, always there for me. The mosquito, chilling, waiting to attack, thinking to himself and talking to his friends, always there for me. The granite, relaxing right by my side, missing home but never alone, always there for me. I am Aloha Lake. I wouldn't be anything without my friends and family. Once I notice that nature is my home, always remember, life can be short or long, and love can be right or wrong. Love is what we've loved in the wild. Life is what we haven't done before, and we need to try and experience. I am Aloha Lake, always there for you.
Beautiful poetry, and I want to really underscore the fact that these poems were written in the students' second languages. And I don't know how many of you listening out there have ever tried to write a poem in a language that isn't your native language, but it's a very challenging at any age, and to do it in high school and to do it under these circumstances is really admirable. I have a lot of respect for all nine of you, even though I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you all yet. And I've been really pleased to spend this hour with the four of you and with Katie. So, and I want to spend a couple minutes in closing to talk to Katie about the future of Adventurers Challenge. I know our listeners want to hear this. So I want to thank you now, Aldo and Ariberto and Angie and Carlos. I hope I see you all again soon. And Katie, I know this is your creation. You developed and created this program from nothing. That is the hardest way to do it. And now it can be a prototype for many others. And I'd like to know what your plans are for Adventurers Challenge in the Tahoe-Truckee Unified School District.
Well, my plans are to begin fundraising again, and it's a long, hard process. I got lots of smaller grants last year, and so I'm going to begin applying again for those grants and looking for individual donors who have also helped me out. And then I will start recruiting a new group of ninth graders for the following year, and I'm going to use the help of these great students here today to help me recruit new students who will benefit from this. My plan for this coming summer is to offer it to another 9 or 10 students and then to look at a model where I could potentially grow it. The superintendent of the district would love it to be reaching out to even more students. The success of this program really is the smaller group, and so I'd like to spend this coming summer looking at the possibility of maybe adding another group in another research facility. Seichen Research Facility is really one of the main reasons why we were able to do this, because we had a place to camp and live and study in between our expeditions. So those are my plans, are to try to make a lasting impact on the Hispanic community in the Tahoe-Truckee area and offer an opportunity that hasn't been there before.
So let's just make it clear then. You say you scramble for grants to bring this on. So this isn't something, this is clearly something the school district supports. That's very obvious to me. But it is not something the school district funds, or do they partially fund it?
They helped fund it. I got summer school money for these students. They've been extremely supportive. I got some Title I money. But I also got funds from the Tahoe Community Foundation, from Tigert Foundation, from East West Developers, from a variety of different grants that I applied for. And then I also went to every service club and Rotary Club in the area and got some smaller grants from them. So I had amazing community support up in the Tahoe area.
What's the percentage of Hispanic students in that school district who graduate from high school?
You know, I'm not sure right now what the actual percentage is, but it's relatively low compared to the overall number of students that come in. And a lot of students drop out before they get to 12th grade. And but these students are great examples of the leaders and the potential of all Hispanic students in the district.
And Aldo and Heriberto and Carlos are still at the banks. Do you feel, and you may not have the perspective to answer this, I don't mean to put you on the spot, do you feel looking ahead now to your last, you have 2.5 more years of high school, right? How do you feel that you will finish? Do you feel confident that you'll graduate from high school, or do you feel it's still a big question mark, or what are your feelings about the next 2.5 years? Aldo?
Actually, I feel pretty confident. The program has, like, made me to do new things, so I'm going to start doing new classes and stuff like that. I'm working really hard to what I'm going to get to my goals. I want to go to college, and that's about it.
Heriberto, how do you feel about graduating from high school?
I feel great because this program helped me a lot by learning more English that I already knew, and it made me feel like if I was in college, how would I feel like without my parents, and it support me like I don't know how to say, but I think I'm ready to graduate from high school and continue to go to college so I can learn more and do other things like things I never knew, learn them.
And Angie, go ahead and sit at the mic while we hear from Carlos. Carlos, well, how do you feel about the next 2.5 years?
I think if I try my hardest, I will complete high school and move on to college because I really want to go to college and make my family proud and stuff.
Angie, I know what you want to do. Go ahead and tell everybody.
I want to become the president of the United States.
Yeah. What a great way to end. Katie Faces, Carlos, Angie, Heriberto, Aldo, thank you so much for sharing your experiences with us from Adventurous Challenge.